I was on my honeymoon in Daytona Beach, Florida, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. My hubby, who was at Gettysburg College, picked up the broom, started marching around, left, right, left, right. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "Catherine, America will not take this lying down. We're going to war." He said, "I will be drafted, and you're going to have to find something else to do." So we returned to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, got all our affairs in order. He was drafted, and I enlisted. My poor mother could not believe that her daughter was going to war. She had never been sick a day in her life. She took to bed for 1 month, I learned after the war. So, believe it or not, my orders to go to war came before 10 days before my husband's. So there he was, standing on the train platform in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, waving goodbye to his wife. We were married for 63 years, and every year on the anniversary, he told that same joke. Well, anyhow, the troop train carried me to Daytona Beach, Florida, and I learned all the basic things that a WAC should know, and then I was sent to Boston, Massachusetts, where I served for 15 months, and I must say the people in Boston were the most hospitable people I met anywhere around the world. Our uniforms were our admission to everything in Boston. And of course, it was gas rationing, so we had horse-drawn carriages to carry us around in Boston. And from Boston, I went through Bradley Field on a troop train to California, where I prepared for overseas service. As a child, I had read in Thomas's books on India, and I always laid under the tree. And as I was lying there, I would dream of what it would be like to travel. So I thought, here's my chance. And believe it or not, I sailed from Long Beach, California, and the General A.E. Anderson, went to Melbourne, Australia, refueled the ship there for 1 week, and we sailed up the Indian Ocean to Bombay, India, got on a transferred to a C-47 plane, and sat in the bucket seats with all our gear at our feet in front of us, went to Calcutta. I was assigned to the China, Burma, India headquarters, and lived in the largest jute mill in the world. And somebody said to me, "What's jute?" I said, "It's hemp, it's rope that they wove." But the machines that did this work, the iron knobs on them were as big as your arm. And they were pulled up, the big machines were pulled up and suspended from the ceiling so that they could put all our whack beds with our mosquito netting and all our gear underneath. So you'd be lying there in bed at night and think, "Oh, Lord, please don't let that chain break." The most famous person that I ever served with was Dean Rusk. He came back as it was Colonel Rusk, our Secretary of State. And he was a gentleman and a wonderful friend to all people. It didn't matter what your rank or race, color, anything. He was there for you. And he would, of course, had a charter plane when he'd fly all around the world for conferences. And he would take a list and ask us what he could bring us. He said, "My wife will shop for you or my secretary." And believe me, you never saw one get a bigger welcome when he stepped off. That was about two or three bags of lipsticks and hair curlers and all that sort of thing. And we handled all the paperwork. Our girls were all individually selected. They all had a specialty. We had link trainer operators, medical technicians, cooks, anything that you wanted done, they could do. Truck drivers, a fantastic motor pool, all that sort of thing. So we were well-rounded. And after the Calcutta when the war was over. We all went to church. Then we were told we were going home. We flew to Karachi, and there we boarded an old ship. It was an awful old thing called the Callan, something they took out of mothballs just to get the troops home. We went through the Suez Canal. The Suez Canal at that time was two-way. You would go from the south, halfway there was a lake, and you'd anchor there. A ship coming down from the Mediterranean would come south, and they'd come to the lake, they'd anchor on the other side, and then we progressed onto the Mediterranean Sea. When we hit the Mediterranean going north, we made a complete left turn. And you never heard such a cheer in all your life, because we realized at that moment we were actually going home. We sailed across the Mediterranean, past Gibraltar, took the northern route home, and it was the roughest crossing. I think if you look it up in naval history, they say it was one of the roughest crossings they ever had in the North Atlantic. And that old ship just went straight up and straight out and straight down, and the propeller was spinning around in the back. And we were all praying, because a lot of us thought we would never make it. Finally, it cleared, and we came into New York. We passed the Statue of Liberty. Everyone was on deck, was crying. And they took us off as quickly as possible, took us to Camp Shanks, and loaded us on buses, took us down to Fort Dix, New Jersey, served us a fabulous Thanksgiving dinner, and we were free, and we were home at last. Thank you.